Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:27. This is August 11th, and another interesting day, and particularly because this is the first time since 1999 that the Dow, the S&P, and the Nasdaq have all closed at new highs, all-time highs, that is. And that's a rather momentous event. It also helps to confirm not only that this is a quite a bullish environment overall, but that this is hardly the beginning of a bull market environment. So it is worth considering that there are, from a short-term perspective, that we've just seen these indices over the last month, 2 months, breaking up out of 18-month long ranges. And a range that we define, we very clearly define it at the chart seminar, is an explosion waiting to happen. So we're getting the explosion. So that's the first part. Long term, this market has been going up since 2009. It is now 2016, lest anyone forget. So 7 years into a bull market. Then where are we in terms of the cycle? On the second day of the chart seminar, we talk about the psychological perception stages of major bull and bear markets. The first is disbelief. Well, we're well past disbelief. Disbelief was back in 2009, 2010, when nobody ever really thought that we could see new all-time highs. Well, we had plenty of acceptance in 2012, 13, 14, where the market trended consistently higher. And then it lost momentum. In 2015, the market went pretty much nowhere. And it could have been a top, but it has not turned out to be a top. And now we're seeing the markets breaking upwards. But why are they breaking upwards? We have seen that corporate profits have declined for 7 straight quarters. Or perhaps it's 6 straight quarters, but it's a high consecutive number. We've also seen that valuations are no longer cheap. Well, obviously they're not cheap considering the market has been going up for the bones of 7 years. Therefore, why is the market breaking upwards? And it is breaking upwards for many of the same reasons that it trended so consistently higher between 2012 and 2015, and that is because we are in a liquidity-fueled environment. Central banks, and particularly the ECB and the Bank of Japan, are flooding the market with liquidity. And they're doing so in an unconventional way, if indeed we can consider anything of what they're doing is in any way conventional. But what the Fed did was to lower interest rates and announce a rather large buying program of both mortgages and government bonds, but they didn't buy corporate bonds. And what we're seeing both the Bank of Japan and the ECB doing is that they've introduced negative interest rates, which is rather unconventional, and it is moving further out the line in terms of just how extraordinary the measures that they're willing to employ. But they're also buying corporate bonds, and now the Bank of England is also buying corporate bonds. So that is directly appealing to investors to not only buy the sovereign bonds that they're purchasing, but also to invest in corporate bonds and to support the corporate sector by pushing down those yields. Of course, what it means is that spreads are contracting. And it isn't just spreads in the corporate sector are contracting, but sovereign spreads are also contracting, where we've seen that emerging market debt, particularly US dollar debt, has contracted significantly over just this year alone. And we've seen spreads almost half in just the last 6 months. So there is a very clear search for yield going on, and that is pushing people into the equity market. That's the simple answer, and that isn't new. What we have had over the last 6 years has been the asset price inflation that we now come to associate with quantitative easing, and in much the same way that the USA's quantitative easing helped to inflate asset prices overseas, well, we're getting a reverse flow now. We're getting quantitative easing in just about everywhere else helping to inflate asset prices in the USA. But the flip side, of course, is that we are also seeing that the euro and the yen have been quite firm and as a result of negative interest rates, because central banks haven't quite realized this yet, but I think the dog on the street realizes that negative interest rates are inherently deflationary. And we're getting increasing stories of Eurozone banks charging their retail customers for deposits. And that's a very clear message that your money is not going to give you any benefit for having it in the bank. So you should either take it home and bury it in the garden or under the bed or in a safe, or you need to spend it. Well, you can either spend it by buying stocks, and interestingly, that not only is the S&P, the Nasdaq, and the Dow all hitting new highs, but that Eurozone shares this week have retraced their entire post-Brexit decline, and we're seeing an increasing number of those, and particularly it is the Northern European indices are breaking progressions of lower rally highs that have been in evidence now for much of the last year. And that's a direct response to the quantitative easing that we're getting right across the European area. Now, we know that that negative rates are inherently deflationary, so there is certainly no indication that they're going to achieve the inflationary bias that central banks so desperately need, because they don't seem to understand that if you want people to spend, you need confidence. It's not just an incentive to spend, but that they need to have the confidence that if they are going to go out and spend, that they're going to get value for money. And they just don't have that in a negative interest rate environment. So then there is no reason to believe that we have reached the extent of the extraordinary measures central banks are willing to go to, and then it would only appear to be a matter of time before we get helicopter money. And the most likely destination for that is going to be Europe or potentially Japan. Now, that is helping to inflate asset prices, and then that is particularly the case for equities, because equities have the capability to increase their yield, or at least to increase their dividend. And that yield will, if we're having sovereign spreads and corporate spreads compressing, then the equity spread, the equity yield spread, should also compress. But since equities have the potential to increase their dividend, then the price has to rise if the equity yield is going to compress relative to government bonds. And the majority of the major indices continue to yield more than their respective national government bond yields. So there is ample potential for that equity yield to compress. And that means that equity prices have to go higher from here. That doesn't, and when you look at that argument, valuation doesn't come into it at all. And of course, that is part of the reason that it is worth considering that it is the first time since 1999 that we could look on this market and come up with a bull market hypothesis where earnings don't matter. Now, earnings do matter. Earnings very clearly matter, and yet corporate profits have been declining, and yet the market is moving to new all-time highs. So when we go back and think about where are we in terms of the psychological perception stages of this market, then we are in the third psychological perception stage. We are potentially now entering the mania, where people begin to lose the plot. They begin to start thinking only about their reaction to prices that are moving higher, and rather their and forget about the reaction to the underlying fundamentals of that market. And those are important points to consider, because the easiest time to make money is in the third psychological perception stage, because everyone is rushing to capture that yield. But that also means that the pool of potential investors is being exhausted. And it also means that the pool of potential supply is increasing, because everyone is holding on to that supply. They don't want to sell it, and they are all potential sellers, when the turn eventually comes. Now, there is absolutely no reason to consider that or to believe that the turn is imminent. But we do know how this how third psychological perception stages of major bull markets do end. So we should enjoy the bull market while it lasts, but also become increasingly aware of the consistency characteristics of the advance and to watch for type 1, type 2, or type 3 trend-ending characteristics. And right now we don't have them because we have just seen the Wall Street at least breaking up out of a well-defined range, and that is not a trend-ending characteristic. So against that background, the commodity markets in here today were really quite volatile, and it was an absolute head fake when we look at what happened in both platinum and palladium. And palladium, having been so very firm yesterday, pulled back violently in here today, and it was down $36, so back below 700. And if yesterday's upward dynamic was a confirmation of the bull market, then today's downward dynamic has certainly checked it. And that really is something that will have made everybody sit up and pay attention. So we could be in for some additional consolidation of what has been a very firm environment overall for both platinum and palladium. Platinum today was down $36, and that is also countermanding yesterday's upward move. Now, both gold and silver were considerably less volatile, but gold continues to remain within this range. It continues to look like just the first consolidation following a major break of a medium-term downtrend, and it is not over just yet. And we really would need to sustain a move below the 200-day moving average. Personally, I want to have positions in the precious metals again, but I guess over trial and error over more than a decade of trading the precious metals, I really only like to buy them when they look weak, and they're not weak enough just yet to tempt me back in. When we look at the commodity markets more generally, just about everything was in negative territory in here today, with the possible exception of some of the industrial metals, where copper was a little bit firmer. But lean hogs today was a great example of just how volatile things can be, where it was up really rather robustly in early trading and closed pretty close to the low that was seen yesterday. So that was a significant reversal intraday, and a clear upward dynamic tomorrow. A reversal of today's downward dynamic would be required to even begin to suggest that that we've seen a more than a short-term low in that price action. And when the one big standout, though, was oil. And that is clearly responding to the more bullish environment overall on the stock market, and oil prices were stronger today by it was on Brent crude, it was nearly $1.90 and almost $1.70 on WTI. That is at least helping to suggest that we're getting at least some two-way trading coming in the region of the 200-day moving average. But what we can pretty much have confidence in is that it is going to be a very volatile environment for oil prices, because this continues to look like a right-hand extension period following the type 2 bottom. So it is going to be very choppy. And in the stock market today, rather interesting that we're seeing that it is social media companies and the online retailers and search are doing particularly well, but the leaders today, or among the leaders today on a very momentous day for stock markets, were some of the retailers, where Macy's has announced that it is going to close an additional 100 stores. So the share was up significantly because perhaps some of those savings will be passed on in dividends to investors. And that also helped to bolster the outlook for JCPenney and Kohl's. But they really have a lot of work to do if they're going to even begin to close the advantage that companies like Amazon have, where despite the fact that you might revamp your store, it is all about price, and then the long walk that you have to do to get from to find parking, and then get from the car park to the store and walk around the store and then carry whatever you've bought home. So much easier to just buy online. And that is a challenge that some of these physical locations have yet to overcome. And I suspect that they're going to have some real imagination if they're going to crack that particular nut. But one thing that it did bring to mind is that a number of these companies are very wealthy in terms of their real estate assets. So they have pulled back very sharply already. They do have the potential to rebound in here, and perhaps not a secular story, but perhaps a medium term uptrend, and not least in an overall bull market environment overall. And it did bring to mind that one of the reasons that McDonald's had broken up out of that lengthy 3 or 4 year range last year was because of speculation that it was going to turn its substantial real estate assets into a REIT, and to use that as an additional way of accreting value. So, and McDonald's is now right in the region of its 200-day moving average. So there is a lot of interesting stuff going on, but and it is an overall bull market environment. And against that background, we're getting more two-way action as well in the government bond markets, and the long bond today was down over a point. We're not going to see dynamic moves in the bond markets unless we have a much bigger pullback on stock markets. And the dollar was relatively quiet in here today. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.